They're both mature men. Clarko will be our coach next year.
My commitment to this footy club, it's happened, I think, on six different occasions where I've signed a contract with this club. Once I was no longer going to be the coach of the Hawthorn Football Club at the end of next year, the sceptics were saying, oh, he'll move straight away. Now, that's the in sickness or in health for me. I'm going to continue on and do this role until the end of next year.
Is there any circumstance you can foresee in which you're coaching Hawthorn next year without Alistair at the club?
No. Everything we're planning right now will be around planning for Clarko to coach next year, me to coach Box Hill.
Probably that first week was quite challenging. It's always hard when you've got two guys, one as a senior coach and then the incoming one. It's that alignment and how's it going to work?
I don't think we've misled the members. We've done what we thought was the best thing. We thought it would work. As it's turned out, it's caused a lot of confusion. No one's perfect. I accept responsibility for that. We adjust.
As big a shock as I've had in a long time in footy, that's all of the different voices you heard there. Alistair Clarkson, Sam Mitchell, Jeff Kennett. Was it Luke Bruce in there?
Was Luke Bruce was
the player
there,
who said there was confusion, but they'd sorted that out. All seemed to be put to bed, particularly on the back of the impassioned Clarkson presser on last Friday. And then on the following week, he comes out and says, I'm moving on. I have absolutely no issue in the world giving credit to Caroline Wilson and Sam McClure, who stuck to their guns. I thought they'd been disrespectful. I was played. I was played like a guitar along with – I chose to believe Clarkson.
Mm.
They were right. I'm wrong. And that was a stunning about-face, as I have seen in footy for a long, long time. He is gone at the end of 3 weeks. In fact, why he's coaching is beyond me. I don't know why he continues to coach.
I'm surprised about that part of it too. I didn't think that after what took place, he'd be coaching the rest of the season out. But you he played. What? I think they played everyone. I think that in the end, I think people got a little bit jittery about stances that have been taken after that press conference last Friday. I think that those, you know, like Caro and others who were adamant that he was going after he gave that performance on the Friday.
Yes,
where
that's
he,
true. No, she did say that she thought that he had dug in and would stay and coach, but they were right. They had some mail that was being fed to them, and good on them. That's great journalism. I chose to believe him.
100%, okay. And I said to you all along, okay, people can change their minds about these things.
He
had me when he did that press conference too, and he said, okay, you know, 14-minute, he stood there and he said, oh, this is what I'm all about, and he laid out all the things that had taken part in his life, and, you know, I'm for integrity, and is what I believe in, all that sort of stuff.
Can I just stop you there? And people, there's one message saying, can we get over this Hawthorn thing? Hey, I promise you we'll get over it after we deal
with it. But we need to deal with it. We just need to deal with it.
But I'm not glossing over that, Tim. I don't want you to gloss over it, and I won't gloss over it. I'm a Clarkson man and have been for a long time. You know that. What he did last Friday when he just opened his heart and went on that 14-minute ramble, on the back of that, to turn around in a week and just shrug your shoulders and say, no, it's not going to work. It's clear that, come on, we have been played like a fiddle.
A grand piano. But have we been played from, do you think everybody's been played from day one? Do you think?
Not Caro.
No. But do you think – no, that's true. And flowers to her and Sam McClure, okay. But do you think at the beginning of all this, this was a strategy that was adopted by Clarko and his management?
I don't profess to understand one thing about what anyone has said, and I don't believe a thing that comes out of that club right now. Coach, CEO
– no, but let's still
– CEO is interesting.
Hang on, let's get back to
him. One word from him.
Okay, let's get back to him, though. Okay. Clarko, this whole thing started, okay – when Jeff Kennett, they decided that they would like Sam Mitchell to continue on or to become their coach, right? So Clarko then was delivered that news. From that time on, was there a strategy in place, do you believe, from Clarko and his management team that, okay, they would create this narrative around the story to get the desired outcome, which the desired outcome was always that he would get paid out, which he now will get paid out over, I think it's a two-year period. Is that right? Yep. They've staggered it over 2 years?
Yep.
So they will pay him out. And that was the end play.
I would not be surprised.
Clarko standing before the media last week and delivering what he did, which was so heartfelt, was all part of the play.
Tim, that could be, as I said, I don't clearly know nothing. And I only went on the basis of my relationship with him over a long time.
I understand.
So I don't, In my mind, this is why I was so strong and why I thought that Caro and others were being disrespectful. I looked at him and said, there's a man of great honour and integrity, and he wouldn't say this if he was playing a game, which is what you are now. Not you, but this is the suggestion.
No, I am. That I am. I'm saying
along
that.
Yeah. I
think that now.
All along he wanted out, and this was – so to me, I was not capable of thinking that he was able to stand up like that and talk like that with in the back of his mind saying, this is part of my game. I just wasn't capable of doing it. And if that – naive me, fair enough. And if it happened again, if the whole circumstance happened again, I'd still back him, not knowing what I know now.
Right.
But in the circumstances, I'd still say, hey, that's him.
Were the Hawthorn Football Club played here then too? Do you think Kennett was played?
I don't know. As I said, I had Jeff, respect for Hawthorn like nothing else.
Okay.
And I just feel like I've been – who cares if I've been played?
You know what I thought about this, and that was that up until that press conference, I thought that Clarko was still out of the joint, okay?
Yep.
I thought that he would go and wouldn't be able to stay under those circumstances. Then he did, and then there's the enormous about face that has taken place. Mm. And I believe that, I think there was a strategy in place here.
Right,
I really
do. You think the Clarkson camp had a strategy in place to try and force Hawthorn's hand?
Yes, I do. I do. And I think that, somebody very close to them chose very carefully and well, and full credit to credit to Caro.
Do you think part of the leaking and part of the backgrounding?
100%.
And this is no criticism.
No.
In fact, this is respect.
This was the play, and that's great. If you form these relationships with people and you get the inside information, that's what the business is all about. You go out there and then you distribute it and you deliver it. And even when the wave of opposition comes, you stand your ground, which is exactly what they did. And full credit to them for doing that.
Mm-hmm.
But I believe it was all part of the strategy of the Clarkson team.
Yep. Well, if that's the case, they've got the required outcome.
That's right. They got their money and whatever else that and that's fine, because he felt aggrieved. Clarko felt aggrieved after all the things that he'd done for the Hawthorn Football Club, and he deserved that.
Okay, yeah,
that contract, and that was a rushed and hurriedly convened press conference when they announced the succession plan and all that type of thing.
But his appearance,
he was never on board.
His appearance a week later wasn't rushed or hurried.
No.
He'd had a week to digest it. He'd seen Sam Mitchell come out on this station with Jared Waitley on the back of what Caro had said about him wanting Clarko out. He came back, so he had a week to digest all of that, and then stood up and took 14 or 15 minutes staring down reporters that had suggested otherwise.
100%.
Icily staring them down. How dare you question me? I am sick of this every time. And then a week later,
he can come back from that though.
Change my mind.
So the next time
he's changed my mind,
he'll end up coaching somewhere else, and he'll stand up and he'll say, "Okay, no, this is what I believe, and this is what we're doing." Are you never going to believe him again, or will you forgive him?
Who?
Clarko.
Oh, I've been taught a great. Well, who believes anyone in footy?
You did.
Well, I did I did. But maybe I was played like a fiddle. Fair enough. Anthony's in Lilydale. Then we'll move on. G'day, Anthony.
Yeah, g'day, boys. Yeah, I rang up to speak to Tim. Tim, your last 5 minutes of your rant, it started one way, finished. I like the way you finished it. We are in this position. I'm a Hawks member.
Yep.
We are in this position because of the Clarkson camp. But you started off at the start of the 5 minutes saying, Hawthorn decided to not go. We're in this position because Hawthorn decided not to go ahead with him. It started before that. Clarkson had a contract still next year, but he's the one that approached the board. He got the ball rolling. He drew first blood.
Fair that enough, Anthony.
You're entitled to your opinion, and that's fine. But I do know, I spoke to people that went and did interviews with Jeff Kennett, who came away from that saying, after the interview, crikey, you've got no idea what Kennett was saying about what they wanted to do next year and move on from Clarkson. So there was that conversation going on out there.
Anyway, that's footy. That's what happens. And you can get, as you rightly said to me many, many times throughout all of this, because I hitch my wagon to Clarkson, you say, hey, he can change his mind. And I'd say no. But so there is the out for anyone in footy. I am coaching. I will not leave. I won't leave. I am coaching. I'm coaching. I'm out. Oh, I changed my mind.
Mm.
So fair enough. We've got to be open to all that. That's the way it is. Is there any possibility, do you think, now when you see Collingwood play in the way they did against West Coast, that Nathan Buckley held the group back, or are they playing with this freedom because there's not any great consequence on the end of the season right now? They're not playing for a coach like now. Sorry, they're clearly playing for the coach. Robert Harvey's got them playing in a manner that is breathtaking.
Yes,
and it is the antithesis of what they were doing. Stodgy, boring, constipated footy that they were playing under Nathan.
If you go back and have a look at that and you examine that, you re-examine that, there was sort of like a micromanagement of the way that they were playing and how slow they were and how stifled they were in the ball movement. Now, there's a release. Now, maybe that's by just by the circumstances that they find themselves in, that they're sort of like, okay, well, we're towards the end of the season now. Harvey says, okay, well, let's just be more adventurous. Let's be more creative in the way that we play.
It's a bit more than that. Well, it is that.
But it's all that, okay?
But they look to be thriving on it.
Yeah, no, they can, because what they have done over a long period of time, okay, they have been taught the defensive mechanisms of the game. So defensively, they really understand.
So you think they're ready for some freedom?
That's right, where they get to. And
why didn't Buck see that?
I don't know. I don't know why he didn't try and introduce that earlier, because that's what everybody was calling for. Okay, you can defend. We know that. We all know. Yeah. We see that. You can defend. You've got really good defensive players, and you know the players are disciplined about the way they move back when they don't have control of the ball, all that type of thing. We just need to see a bit more flair in the ball.
But Nathan Buckley, is this the best example of sometimes a coach can stay too long? So you get mired and you're in there and you're surrounded by people with a similar mindset. If Robert, and maybe Robert Harvey was doing this, I don't know. Yeah. Bucks, we've got to free him up. No. This is where I'm at, you know.
He had a philosophical belief in the way the game needed to be played and the way that he wanted to set them up to play.
And I watched Jordan De Goey on the weekend, you know, and playing in this manner that he did. And I'm thinking, why? Maybe Bucks was just harder on the group to say, no, you must have defence first philosophy.
Okay, I said to this on Friday, I said, is there any way that Robert Harvey can keep this coaching position? And we had a discussion about it. And my feeling Friday and today was the same thing, and that was the only way that he could actually come into contention here would be by weight of numbers of performance and wins against losses. Okay, now heading into the weekend, he hadn't had that. Mm. They finish with another 3 wins. Does that make it even harder for Collingwood to move on from Robert Harvey, or do you think that they're already put their flag in the sand?
I think Robert Harvey has enhanced his reputation as either a prospective coach or a prospective assistant coach somewhere else. I don't know whether I don't know whether he's going to get a look in at the Collingwood Footy Club, but by hell, he's done himself no harm. They played. It was at times breathtaking.
Taking against an ordinary team.
Yeah. No, against a potentially very good team who refused to turn up. So I take all that into account. But it just occurred to me that there's a group. I watched Sidebottom was superb. Like Sidebottom was a Sidebottom of old.
Well, they gave him the leadership too. Yeah, like Adams, he was the captain on the day. That was his best. That was Sidebottom's best game for the year.
So the next question is for a future coach. We've got to take a break. For a future coach, this is the back line they went with, which I loved as well. Roughhead, so he takes the most dangerous, right? Maynard, who I love.
Yeah, both been good all year.
Jeremy Howe back into that side makes such a difference. Crisp was nearly the best player on the ground. Rusko looks like he can play halfback.
They've turned him around.
And Quaynor's a really, really talented
kid. Been good all year.
You keep that six together. They're
great building blocks.
And we've been saying all year, they think they've got great kids. And we're starting to see it.
And you and I have been, we've been on the same page here. And that is that everyone has said, they don't have any forwards. I thought it was more symptomatic always of the way Collingwood were playing. Yeah. They didn't give their forwards ever an opportunity to find any space or time there because the ball movement was so slow.
Big prang on the Monash inbound before Burke Road. So avoid that. And that is not a, we've got an hour to get, we've got an hour of footy here. We've got an hour, right up to 8 o'clock. We haven't got into West Coast yet. Haven't started on the Gold Coast Suns. Haven't started on St Kilda's inability to make. I want to know about Carlton. Is it David Teague feel more comfortable after the weekend, or is it too late for him? I want to find out about that as well. All of that ahead. The conversation started for the Kia Sorento Drive Car of the Year.
Smarter, quieter, safer. Garage doors redefined. Discover more at 4ddoors.com.au. Kogan credit cards. No annual fees, amazing rewards, and complimentary Kogan First membership.
Breakfast with Gary Lyon and Tim Watson.
Talking footy all the way up to 8 o'clock and beyond that. We've got Johnny Longmire who's going to join us, which will be great. Jason Richardson and Sammy Edmund as well. So lots to talk about. But talking footy at the moment, West Coast putrid, absolutely putrid. What they did on the weekend was an embarrassment to them and a disservice to Shannon Hearn. I don't even want to talk too much more about them, apart from the fact that they've got massive issues. And Adam Simpson, who's a great, he's a great man. Everyone loves him. He's a premiership coach in 2018, but he is going to come under some pressure for their performances this year. It's a care factor, and you got to look deeper. You got to look deep. You can't just shrug your shoulders now and go, it's not a one-off.
No,
there's some sort of endemic issue there.
And as a coach, your job is to diagnose the problem and then fix it. Yep. And he hasn't been able to do that. I'm sure he's pulled all sorts of levers believing it's this or that. You know when they've looked the best this year? And when I fell into them, okay? I actually fell into them because I looked at them. Excuse me. They had a great win against Carlton at the SCG with an undermanned side.
Yep.
And then they came back the following weekend. I think they beat Richmond at home, still with a lot of those younger sort of inexperienced players playing.
Yep.
And then I looked at Shuey was coming back and Kelly was coming back and Shepherd was coming back and I think Nick Knapp was coming back. Whoever it might have been. No, it was McGovern was coming back. Mm. I thought, okay, well, you know, they're getting the full team together now. Like they look
worse
good.
When they get the good team together.
And they were worse.
Yeah.
And they were worse. But that goes to the heart of probably what their problem is, and some of those guys, particularly Kelly and those midfielders, really only want to work one way and on their own terms. And they're not really quick-legged players either. So when they lose the ball and they don't spread quickly enough, the opposition takes them to the cleaners.
Hey, Tom Yeo was one of the worst defenders on the weekend. You know how much I love him. So the Bont, no, he's got him covered, Tommy. I know you've been a bit facetious there, but I'm a big Yeo man, but he was one of many. Hey, Sydney handle adversity, drama, pressure, as well as any team going around. Callum Mills is the embodiment of that. Lock him up for 14 days, let him loose, and he does what he did on the weekend. They weren't as good as I've seen them play this year.
No.
Essendon were good, kept coming, and a good side still wins.
They do, and a lot of goals kicked in that game as well. It was it was probably the most entertaining game that we've seen this year. Like when you've got two sides, I think what they kicked, 33 goals between the two sides. The ball was just bouncing around, but part of that was the centre bounces became so critical to either side's fortune, and Essendon won a lot of the centre bounce clearances, got the ball moving forward, got great field position. Unlike Sydney, though, like the aggressive defensive part of their game was missing for a lot of that game. It came at the critical stages it came, but then I've watched Sydney play over the years, and this is one of the reasons why I admire them so much, and that is that generally, when somebody gets a lot of the ball, they sort of shut those blokes down, you know, the key playmakers. Yep. And whether they just couldn't yesterday, Parrish still got a lot of – he's had an unbelievable year. Merritt, his field kicking was extraordinary yesterday, Zach Merritt. So they weren't able to shut those two guys down. But good teams, you know, they just find a way to win ultimately, and that's exactly what they did. Papley came to play. The other blokes –
what about Lizard? What about the Lizard?
Lizard was good. But Parker, you know, Parker is such
He's a superstar. We don't say that enough. He's a superstar, Luke Parker. The Lizard back, the halfback. Magnificent. Cats beat North. Been told here, won 11 of the last 12, Geelong.
Yeah,
they're the quietest top two team in the competition. They just keep winning. 11 of 12 with an average margin of over 5 goals.
Yeah, well, that's why they should be the premiership favourites, because all the other teams have had their sort of little ups and downs and their ebbs and their flows, but even when they're playing poorly or just averagely, they're still capable of winning. Can we just give North Melbourne a little bit of a bunk up? They played hard. They were hard to play against, even against Geelong at the weekend.
No Cunnington,
and you thought, okay, what are they going to be able to do in the midfield? They've got some really good young field. Tarrant Thomas didn't play either.
No Thomas. Big tick.
So defensively, their defensive game was under pressure. Yep. Like Geelong were getting the ball there, but they made it really difficult for them to score. So, there's a lot to like. We talked about them last week, but there's still a lot to like about the
Craig from Tassie said this, Wispy. I want to get your thoughts. Gaz, I think Carlton's performance on Friday night is even more damning against Teague, as it proved that most has suspected all along about our kids, who has refused to play until now. He's wasted 2 years of development not playing kids when we're never going to be competing for the flag. Smells of self-preservation. That's Craig from Tassie. Anything in that? So Stoker, has finally been played consistently. O'Brien comes back into the team, shows a little bit. Has he showed enough or not?
He's been up and down.
Up and down.
But, you know, like I think Paddy Dow is the one in the midfield that has really started. He started to really blossom. And
Petrovsky Seaton.
Yeah, well, he didn't play the weekend, did he, Petrovsky Seaton? No. They dropped him at the weekend, so.
Oh, sorry, I was on the wrong page.
Yeah. I think you and I are on the same page when we talk about Carlton, and that is they're hard to trust because they've been so inconsistent. But having said that, I think they have got some talent.
Like, big tick for Jack Silvani. Which is fantastic.
He plays
properly.
Well, he had to shoulder the ruck.
He's been doing that for 3 weeks.
No. But De Koning went off the ground, so he had to actually
Him and Kennedy rucked.
Unbelievable performance from him.
No, love the way he plays about it. What about King? A big Maxi King. He kicked the first three goals of the game for St Kilda, and then it all dried up a little bit. But it was one of those rare things where Wiedering and King matched up was going to be fantastic. Wiedering looked like 3 goals in 10 minutes he was going to have his hands full. By the end of it, he was in the best 5 players on the ground, Jacob Wiedering.
Yeah, and having listened to him speak on Gerard's program last week, that's no surprise because of the fact that how detailed he goes into his game, and it's unlikely that he's going to play 2 bad games or 2 poor games in a row.
The coach of the Swans joins us, Johnny Longmire. Welcome, horse.
Hey, guys. Go, Tim.
Great to talk to you, my friend. Gee whiz, logistically, you've had some challenges, but how's it all working out? I guess one of the things that we wanted to know off the top, and a lot of people have been asking us, is the situation with the wives and the partners and the children. Is that going to be resolved this week?
Well, we hope so. We don't know for sure yet. They get out of quarantine on Thursday, late Thursday afternoon. So we're relying upon the powers that be, I guess, to be able to reunite with them. It was interesting when you consider last week, on Saturday, we sort of drove past really the hotel that they were in almost 20 minutes away and then jump on a plane and leave them. So, obviously we'd be keen to catch up with them if we can, hopefully by the end of the week. We'll have to wait and see. There's been nothing locked in just yet.
Yeah, so they travelled up there to do the 14 days so that hopefully that reunite and be together up there. And as we know, the situation is you're now back in Melbourne. So the hope is I guess you got the fingers crossed. They'll finish the 14 days on Thursday, did you say, and then hopefully they'll be able to come down here to Melbourne?
Yeah, that's what we hope. Everyone's got a different story, I guess, in a playing and staff sense. There's some players and staff, their families are still back in Sydney, and I think it's been about 7 weeks now. But there's a number of people that are doing it pretty tough, I guess, up in to a quarantine, and it'd be good to catch up with them, and they'd be looking forward to getting some fresh air.
Hey, John, 4 points aside, did you enjoy that game last night? I got the impression that you were just sitting there on the bench just enjoying it, going up and down the ground and all those goals being scored.
Oh, yeah, wonderful thing. That's right. Was you saying that with a bit of sarcasm?
Well, normally, in the morning. I've been admiring your coaching over the years and how you shut down Essendon every time they got a run on over the years. And then yesterday, for whatever reason, it was an open, free-flowing game of football that was terribly enjoying for anybody sitting there watching it. But I just wonder, from a coaching perspective, what was going through your mind?
We like to put enormous pressure on the opposition. I mean, we pride ourselves on that and try and make sure that we compete really hard in that aspect. And we've been fantastic at that this year. I think our pressure rating's been through the roof. And so we've been really pleased with that. And that was down a fair bit yesterday, particularly early in the game. So we were trying to work through some reasons why that was so low and try to get it up. Thought in the third quarter we responded really well. And they were able to kick some goals really at the back end of that third quarter out of the centre bounce. But I thought, it was one of those games that we thought our pressure was a little bit off in that first half. We turned it up in the third quarter when we had to, and sometimes you just got to find a way to win. And our players have been fantastic. This whole process, our players and staff have been wonderful. So I couldn't be more pleased with how they're going.
No, we talk about that often, how the pressure around the ball is so magnificent from the Sydney Swans and how difficult they are to play against. That at halftime, when you're down like that, do you go to your leaders or do you address the whole group? I mean, is it specific to, we saw Luke Parker, he was fantastic in that third quarter in the second half, and Kennedy, those guys that are more experienced around the ball, or is it sort of like something you address holistically with the group?
Oh, they know. We talked about it during the course of the game. And they were, you speak to your leaders all the time during the course of the game. They've been fantastic for a long time for us, those blokes, and they still are, as far as their ability to be able to turn the momentum and do what they need to do and stand up. And so we spoke about that during the game, and then we just make sure we point out some facts that at half time, they all knew it, and they went about trying to get it right. And once again, the response was pretty good.
Are you enjoying sitting there on the bench? We've seen you probably, I think you've been there all year on the bench watching the game, or maybe early in the season you're up in the box. Are you enjoying it down there on the bench?
Yeah, I've done a bit of both. So I'll continue to do that for the rest of the year, a bit of both, whatever it needs to be. I think that we were due to play the Ballarat a few weeks ago until it was changed the last minute. That might have been one that I was planning on getting up the box, but up in the Gold Coast, it's been all right.
How is your tan going?
Yeah, well, it was interesting. It's been an interesting challenge for the pack the clothes, because you come to Melbourne, you pack a jacket, then you go to Gold Coast and you don't need a jacket. I was going to send it back to Sydney, and then all of a sudden I need a jacket again. So it's a little bit different.
You're a sharp dresser too. I saw him in a country road there one day, and gee whiz, did he have a handful of clothes that day?
I'm not as good as you, mate. I'm not as good as you. You certainly knew the first name of every shop attendant there. So.
Hey, with Johnny Longmire, the coach of the Swans, you kicked 17-7, you kicked 13-2 after half time. What accuracy is? I think it's getting more and more discussion, as it should, in terms of determining where sides can finish and how important it is. Was it easier shots, better spots you're taking them from, or what was the secret?
Usually it gets down to where you take the shots from, Gaz. I mean, that has a large say in obviously conversion. I don't think that was necessarily the case yesterday. I just think we're able to hit the scoreboard. I mean, Paps was fantastic. Those guys were able to kick the big goals when it mattered. So I think it was just, we were able to hit the scoreboard in that second half pretty well, which is good.
Callum Mills just sits in the hotel room, sits on the balcony, sunning himself for a couple of weeks, and comes out and looks like he hasn't missed a beat. That's a pretty impressive performance.
Yeah, needed a bit of sun, Mildy, but he and Harry Cunningham, to be able to spend a couple of weeks in quarantine and come out and perform the way they did, both of them, I thought was fantastic. They're in our leadership group, and it was good to see them play the way they did. They're quality players.
Are you expecting, COVID has thrown all sorts of curveballs at everybody, are you expecting to get back and living in Sydney at all for the rest of this season, or have you actually got the mindset now that you're going to probably be on the road for the rest of this footy season?
I guess we don't know for sure what's going on in any given week at the moment. The abnormal preparations become the normal for us. Yeah. But I think we'd have to say, look, it's unlikely we're going to get back to Sydney. I think that's reasonably obvious to be able to call that. So we've just got to make sure that we do whatever we do to keep the players going, keep them up, our staff, making sure that we support our families, whether they're back in hotel quarantine or they're back in Sydney, as much as we can. And that's what we're doing, as much as we can as a footy club.
Gary would like to adopt a couple of players, some home cooking and some sort of normal surroundings.
I already have got.
He does a magnificent three shank soup. Do you think some of the players would enjoy sort of like a home cooked meal in the next few weeks?
Yeah, that'd be nice. Is that down at the farm, is it?
Oh, well, we can go down there at any stage. Horse, speaking of that, you've had some time on your hands. I recommended a very good show for you to go and watch. Did you get onto Clarkson's farm?
Not yet. It's been a bit. I haven't had much time to be sitting down watching the TV at the moment. I will, though, Gaz. I'll try and get some time to sit back and watch it.
Before the finals, because it'll clear your mind and set you up. Speaking of Clarkson, have you watched that whole situation unfold with a degree of interest, or is it you're just thankful there's no drama at your club like that?
No, I'll keep my nose out of that. Clarko's obviously a friend of mine, and he can still coach, I know that. So good on him. I hope he goes well.
Jason Richardson has been magnificent. Olympics update for Mate Internet and Mobile, award-winning Aussie service mobile plans from $20. Richo, just you and me at the moment, my friend, and may I commend you on your performance in the mix zone. It has been of the highest quality.
Oh, hello, G. And on behalf of the whole of Australia, Brendan, get stuffed. He's just doing his role, mate. He's just he's meant to talk, for Christ's sake. Mate, isn't it? What a night of track and field last night, G. I don't know if you've been an athletics fan as a rule beforehand, but it was fantastic stuff. What about the men's high jump?
Oh, yeah.
For those that missed it, the men's high jump, Brandon Stark was fantastic. He ended up finishing fifth. He jumped higher than any Australian has in Olympic Games. He jumped 2.35 meters. Think about that when you're at home. We ooh and ah and get that excited when a 2 meter guy slam dunks a basketball into a 3 meter hoop. These guys are lobbing over 2.35 meters, just short of a basketball ring, if you don't mind. It is extraordinary how high they jump.
Everyone should
Stark
do that.
Jumps 2.35 meters.
They should measure it on the wall. Everyone should do that at home. Get your ruler out or your tape measure and measure 2.35 meters and just look at that and say, how can a man get his body over the top of that?
100%. And you, when you do it, you'll do it up the wall and it'll be right up into the ceiling in Australia for most of the houses to have it. It's unbelievable how high they jump. Then we got to a scenario where an Italian and a Qatar, the best jumper in the world, in Bashim, who's jumped 2.43, they tied and they were meant to go for a jump off. They looked at each other, a little wink, wink, said to the judge, we don't want a jump off. We'll both have a gold medal, thank you very much. And then the scenes were unbelievable. And the judge said, okay, it's part of the rules. It was changed 3 years ago. They didn't have to do a jump off and they couldn't be separated. So dual gold medalist in the high jump.
Are you a fan of that, Richo? This is the great Jason Richardson who's slaying them for Channel 7 over there in Tokyo. Are you a fan of that? I thought that was sort of the all or nothing, the cutthroat nature, your one chance every 4 years to be a winner. I don't know whether, is that going against the spirit of what this is about or not?
It's interesting because I love the human aspect of it. I thought, oh, what a wonderful story they share.
Yeah, I get it.
Medal.
Me
but then
too.
Then I started to sit there and think, hang on. So if there's five guys or girls that have tied and can't be separated and ready for a jump off, why wouldn't all five of them look at each other and go, hey, stuff the jump off, let's all have a gold medal?
Correct.
Like the rule was changed 3 years ago. International Athletics changed the rule to allow this. I love the story, but I'm a bit with you. I just kept thinking, hang on, are you allowed to do that? But it doesn't quite feel right. But I love the romance of it.
Hey, Richo, no one knows more about the art of sprinting in this country than you do. Rowan Browning, he missed the men's 100-metre final after finishing fifth in his semi. Gary and I were talking about him this morning. What's the ceiling on this young man, do you think?
I don't think there is a ceiling, Sleepy. Thanks for joining us. look, he is an immense talent. You know, and it's interesting because both with your unbelievable backgrounds in sport, you know how when you see a young guy arrive in whatever sport it is who has this unbelievable belief that they belong?
Yes.
He has that,
as
opposed to so many Australian athletes in the past have stood, whether it be in the 100 metres or whatever event, and looked around and been in awe of all these unbelievable, you know, great world-class athletes. I loved his attitude of, I was in lane one in my heat and they don't introduce the lane one. They only introduce in the heats lanes 4, 5, and 6, the key athletes. He said, so I felt like they disrespected me there. They didn't know who I was. He's not overawed. He actually believes he's good enough. And I'm with him now. He ran 10.01 and then 10.09. That was fantastic. He blew the start in the semi-final. He gets that start right. He's right there with him, and I think he makes the final. And then when you get to the final, as we saw last night, with an Italian, Jacobs winning and running an unbelievable time to win, anything can happen. He's only 23. The reality is you look at, you know, the strength required for the, you know, the 100 metres, especially in the men and the women. You towards 30, he'll be at his absolute best if he can maintain the passion and the desire. So look out Paris, look out LA.
And look out Still Gift too. What sort of a mark would he get at Still? I mean, you ran off a very generous 14.5 metres to win, but what sort of a mark would he get?
Of course, you know that the limit's 10 and he would get 0. And I would be saying, you've got to put him on 0 and you can lift everyone up towards 10. No one goes past 10, and wouldn't it be bloody awesome to watch him storm over the top and win?